I'm Sheila Cast, and this is Midday. From renovating vacant row homes to cultivating organic farms, clergy have undertaken a massive effort to improve life in the Sandtown neighborhood. We hear from Reverend Derek DeWitt and Elder C.W. Harris about the revival of a long-dormant alliance of a dozen churches, all focused on projects to strengthen their Sandtown community. There's an expansion plan for a local nursing home and an affordable housing program for people pulling out of addiction. Plus, with the help of social workers and the FBI, Sandtown's religious leaders are reaching out to gang members as part of Baltimore's initiative against gun violence, Operation Ceasefire, and persuading them to leave that life behind. Transforming Sandtown. That's Midday, right after the news from NPR. Welcome to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm very glad you're with us today. Day after tomorrow will be 1 year since the riots that tore apart Penn North. We're talking today about a spirit of transformation in Sandtown, the neighborhood that was home to Freddie Gray. Sandtown Winchester has undergone attempts at transformation before. More than two decades and $100 million later, the vision of developer James Rouse remains out of reach. In Rouse's attempt in the early 1990s to improve life in the West Baltimore community, homes were renovated, education and health services were launched, yet the problems of unemployment, drug abuse, and poverty persisted. Today we're looking at an effort of revitalization led by Sandtown's religious communities. From building urban farms and creating jobs to preventing crime, clergy have undertaken a massive effort to improve life in the Sandtown neighborhood. Reverend Dr. Derek DeWitt, senior pastor of First Mount Calvary Baptist Church, has led the revival of a long-dormant alliance of a dozen churches focused on this revitalization. Pastor DeWitt now serves as president of CUTS, Clergy United for the Transformation of Sandtown. Welcome to Midday, Pastor DeWitt.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's very good to have you here. And also with us is another member of CUTS, Elder C.W. Harris, pastor of Newborn Community of Faith Church. Elder Harris is founder of the Intersection of Change, formerly known as Newborn Holistic Ministries. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Elder Harris, you've been in the news recently for an action on a rooftop.
Yes.
Tell us what that was. Bring us up to date. What did you do and why?
Well, a year ago, after the unrest, we got together in a meeting, and we wanted to work together to try to get more people involved, especially in the political process, the basic right that we have, the right to vote. Sandtown only represented with 257 voters in our last elections.
That's out of about how many registered voters do you estimate?
Just over 2,000 registered voters. Now, we have a population of between 12 and 14,000 residents in the Sandtown area. So that was so appalling. So I suggested that we think out of the box. And I committed myself to go on a roof to stay up there fast until we get at least 500 voters out of the community of Sandtown, Winchester. And I was able to do that. As a matter of fact, we're going beyond 500 voters from that community.
You hit the 500 mark in 4 days.
Yes. Yes, I did. I was hoping to do it in one. My wife hoped that I would do it in one. The first night was kind of chilly. I got a heater up there the second night, and I had the best sleep I've had in years. So,
you slept well up there.
Slept well up there with my friends that I met, the birds, the seagulls, and the sparrows.
They were keeping you
they
company.
They were keeping me company and singing to me in the morning.
And you were fasting as well.
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm.
You know, some people would, I mean, Sandtown Winchester is known for having a lot of churches. You guys probably have a count.
33
churches. It's not obvious that a man of the cloth's first reaction to what we saw a year ago would be, we need to participate more in the political process.
Yes.
I would have expected you to be exhorting people to get their lives, get themselves straight with God, get their lives on a better course, mm-hmm. Stop using drugs. Why was your thought, we need to do something about a voter participation that's only around 10-12%.
Well, what was practice in the 60s was the practice of the inward and outward journey to show folk what divine intervention that happened inwardly. It had to be seen. And so many of our brothers and sisters in that time period fought and died for us to have the right to vote. God given us the right to pray, and through his people we have in our system here in the United States the right to vote. And so we went through much turmoil to get that right. And so in appreciation for those who have died before, we then said, let us take a piece of the pie, which is a nonviolent, peaceful way of protesting. Let us get together and get our folks together to do that which so many people worked so hard for us to get, and that is that right to vote. And so we have our folk go out to vote, and we have over 500 that are doing it, thankfully.
But Pastor DeWitt, let me turn to you. If people are choosing not to vote, or choosing not even to register, if they have the right to, if they could register, that basically says they don't expect the political system to answer their problems, make their lives better.
Well, and that's one of the purposes for CUTS. We're a multi-faith organization that says, hey, we are anchors in our community, and we believe that we, as clergy and faith-based institutions, we believe that we have the answers to what is wrong in our community. And one of the things that this voting, changing the voting rights persona does for us is it helps us to develop a holistic approach. So we're not just trying to change people spiritually, but we have to let them know that they have to participate in the entire process, which voting is included. So that's why, you know, there's strong push to get, you know, the right for ex-felons to be able to vote. And now there's a push for us to get them registered to vote. Many of our CUTS churches have voter registration, you know, throughout the week and on Sundays for people to be able to register. And so if things are going to change, clergy and faith-based institutions have to be seen by our government as anchors. We have proven records of success in just about every area of life. We're doing schools, we're doing drug programs, we're doing feeding programs, we're doing recreation, we're doing affordable housing, we're doing senior citizens, we're doing nursing homes, but we're doing it on a scale as individuals. So this is what CUTS have come together and said, let's synergize, let's develop partnerships that will give us a larger and a more powerful impact on what we're doing. And that would also help bring more resources. So what we're saying to the government, what we're saying to everybody else, our proven track record, it speaks for itself. We can do more of what we're doing. We just need more resources. So let's take some of the resources that perhaps have not been utilized in the best way from the government, even our foundations. We're saying foundations see the faith-based community as a sub-foundation to what you're doing. Let us vet things in our community. Let us vet programs in our community and determine where your money would be best utilized in our community, and give us a shot at fixing some of the things.
That's Pastor Derek DeWitt here on Midday on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also here is Elder C.W. Harris, both working to revive the Sandtown community. The organization that Pastor DeWitt is president of, CUTS, Clergy United for the Transformation of Sandtown. And before I ask you more about the specifics of what Cuts has on its agenda now, what it's already working for. Cuts isn't new. When did it start? What's its background?
No, Cuts is new. Cuts started back in the mid-90s, actually. And, you know, over time, they kind of faded out and kind of laid dormant. And so this is a new resurgence of Cuts as a result of the Freddie Gray incident, the civil unrest that happened in our city last year. And so clergy got together and said, hey, when we had this program up and running, it was good. It was a viable program, did a lot of good work. You know, let's bring it back and see if we can continue some of the great things that churches are doing. And the other part of that, too, is as we reform our community, as we revitalize our community, we want to make sure that there is some moral standard or moral or spiritual compass in the community as well. So we're saying, okay, in the revitalization efforts, we're not going to tolerate anything and everything. There has to be some spiritual component to what we're doing. We have 33 churches in Sandtown, but we have over 80 liquor stores and sub shops. We don't need more liquor stores and sub shops. And so this is a chance for faith-based institutions to stand up and say, we want a say and we want a hand in what happens in our community as far as the revitalization process.
Elder Harris, what is it that you think exists today in your community that can make Cuts successful if it faded out before?
What exists today are a few faithful organizations in the community that need to be more highlighted, and they are working diligently to bring about change in Sandtown, Winchester, and to end poverty in Sandtown, Winchester. So it's asset-based. You have to recognize those organizations and support them so that they may be able to expand more and do more to in the support of our community. As has been forementioned, we have a church that supports a school. We have a church that supports the urban farm. We have a church that supports a house for women who are suffering with the addiction to drugs. We have a church that support a cultural arts center. We have
Jubilee Arts.
We have a horse stable in our community which needs improvement. That's historic. That could bring all types of people from all over our state and the United States who have never seen that. So the prospects and the possibilities are there, right there in our community. We need to just expand it and improve upon it and work it out to its maximum.
I want to pick up on exactly some of those initiatives that you mentioned. We need to take a quick break here. And I want to remind our listeners that they can be part of this conversation. What role do you think clergy play in uniting a community? What role do you think they can play? What message do you take from the upsurge in the number of Sandtown residents voting? 504 days versus only 257 last year. Call us about any of this. 410-662-8780 is our phone number. Our email address is midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. What are Sandtown Winchester's religious communities doing to improve the quality of life there? We're talking about Cuts, Clergy United for the Transformation of Sandtown, a newly revived alliance of a dozen churches all working to make life healthier and happier in their neighborhood. I'm speaking with Reverend Dr. Derek DeWitt, senior pastor of First Mount Calvary Baptist Church. He is also president of CUTS. And also with us is Elder C.W. Harris, pastor of Newborn Community of Faith Church. Elder Harris is a member of CUTS and founder of the Intersection of Change, formerly known as Newborn Holistic Ministries. What would you like to add to this conversation? What are your questions or suggestions about what churches can do to revive their communities? You can call us at 410-662-8780 or send an email to midday@wypr.org. Elder Harris, you were saying that there was some news over the weekend about relations among churches.
Yes, relations among churches. The thing is that most of my support, or the support of Intersection of Change, come from my white brothers and sisters who are outside our community, large church organizations who have seeded us thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. What I'm saying is churches of color, and especially the 33 church that are in the Sandtown community, we would like, as it was before when all of us used to work together to bring about change. It is so easy to break one arrow, but if we have 33 arrows band together, it is so hard to break. And so us banding together, we're able to break the back of poverty. One, and I may be saying this out of context, one chase 1,000 and two would put 10,000 to flight. That is enough church to end poverty in Sandtown. That is enough church to end poverty in the United States of America. So what I'm saying is support among ourselves the way that it used to be when I used to grow up. I grew up in a segregated Baltimore. I'm a child of the 50s. I was born in 1950. So, and I saw these changes, and I saw where church, and I failed to say churches because we're all one. Church band together, no matter whether you were Baptist, Holiness, or Presbyterian, we all band together to bring about change.
Pastor DeWitt's trying to get a word in here.
Yeah, and that's one of the purposes of CUTS. We are developing partnerships to kind of create a synergy to improve our community. So CUTS has Baptist churches, we have AME churches, we have Apostolic churches, Presbyterian churches, all members of CUTS. And we're doing some of these positive things as it relates to coming together. Our Baptist churches in this city, the United Baptist Missionary Convention, which I'm a member of. We have several CUTS churches that are members of this convention. And we own and operate the only African-American nursing home in the state of Maryland. It's the oldest one in the country. And so
nursing home owned by African-Americans.
Right. It's the oldest in the country, and it's the only one in the state of Maryland. It's a 5-star facility right in the heart of a depressed area in West Baltimore.
Where is it located?
It's located off of Poplar Grove on Rainer Avenue. And this nursing home has been an anchor in the community, run by churches. We are ranked 16th out of 283 nursing homes in the state, and we provide
the Maryland the Baptist Age ranking, Home. The quality ranking by the state.
Quality ranking by the state. So we recognize the need for what we do. People should not have to leave their community for quality schools, quality health care. So we're embarking upon an ambitious plan to build a brand new nursing home. We have 30 residents now. The new Hurt Nursing Home we're looking at 140 residents, along with quality long-term care, assisted living, independent living. And then we say, how can we create jobs in the community? So we employ people from the community. About 80% of our employees come directly from the community.
You're talking specifically about employees at the nursing home?
At the nursing home. So and then since the Freddie Gray incident, we've hired 8 employees directly from the Gilmore Homes area working at the nursing home. So at the end of the day, just an idea, when we build this new nursing home of 140 beds, that's going to create jobs. We hire people from the community now. At the end of the day, when we get ready to go home, what do we have? We have sheets, towels, pillowcases. So why not create a laundry to go with the nursing home that employs more people? And then we can get contracts from other nursing homes to bring in their laundry, employ more people. So we need some long-term sustainable efforts to revitalize our community. And this is what churches are doing. And that's just the nursing home. But we have schools, we have daycares, we have rec centers, you name it, churches are doing it.
We had a caller who couldn't stay with us, I think, who wanted to pick up exactly on that point, saying that there couldn't be a solution to Sandtown's problems without employment. I think he heard you, Elder Harris, talk about the Churches United mm-hmm. would have the power to end poverty.
Yes.
And do you see that much employment being generated?
Well, we know that we're going to need some type of manufacturing industry to come in to develop a massive employment base in Sandtown. But what we're saying is, just like Ms. Cass, what you said earlier, we have churches in every community. We have 33 churches, the possibilities of them employing. Now, let's say we partner with the city. If you walk downtown Inner Harbor, there's no trash downtown. Why? Because they partner with businesses to keep the trash off the street. So why can't they do the same thing with churches that would provide employment? Let's say, look at our urban farm that Elder Hurst talked about earlier, Strength to Love 2. Strength to Love 2 is an urban farm that only provides employment to people who are coming out of incarceration. So our returning citizens, they get a skill. The farm does another thing. We're using vacant lots, previously vacant lots in the city. So we're eliminating some of the blight that was in the city. We're providing jobs to returning citizens. And there's no supermarket in Sandtown, Winchester. So now we're also helping to provide some nutritional supplements to the residents of the community. So churches have begun to think outside the box and say, how can we solve multiple problems with one basic idea?
We have a Stuart is calling us from Annapolis, wants to comment on this. Oh, we lost Stuart. Well, I'm sorry, because Stuart was going to give me an answer to why the Rouse effort failed and why he thinks cuts can succeed. But that's what you're telling me about. Ken called us from Baltimore. He had a problem with the phone line, but his question was, what are clergy doing to help homeless youth? Elder Harris?
Well, we have plans. We are few in number, and we cannot do everything, but we have plans on the board to support those efforts. There are so many issues. We have housing issues. We have the lead issue. We have mental health issues. We have all types of issues. So we talk to the community and find out which one that the community want us to zero in on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just knock one bird off the pin at a time. And then after that poverty that encompass us would be destroyed.
And as it relates to the homeless population, we look at some of our cuts churches. Some of our cuts churches have renovated vacant homes to provide some affordable housing to members of their community. And one of the things, Ms. Cass, that we want to make a point of is that we're doing a lot of these things, albeit it's on a small scale. But if we can partnership with people like the city, the state, some of our local medical institutions like Bond Secure, our universities like Coppin and Morgan. We can do more of those things. My church alone, we've bought two vacant houses. We've renovated them. We allow people who are displaced for whatever reason, maybe it's lead paint, maybe they had a fire, to come and stay there for as long as they need to get back on their feet. We provide transportation for their kids to go to school. We give them the social counseling that they need to get back on their feet. We make sure that the house is fully equipped with everything they need, from ironing boards to computer to TV. So we can do more of these things if we had more resources.
Well,
that's the message of CUTS.
I was the director of family support for Sandtown Habitat for Humanities. We have built over 300 homes
right.
for home ownership. And one of our partners in CUTS is Reverend Dr. Wilson, who is a pastor of a PCA church in Baltimore in the Sandtown community that is called New Song.
Mm-hmm.
And through New Song We had Sandtown Habitat for Humanities. Over 300 homes are now in home ownership of people who was of low resource.
That's Elder
who are now homeowners.
That's Elder C.W. Harris here on Midday on WYPR. Also, I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us here is Pastor Derek DeWitt. We're talking about CUTS, Clergy United, for the transformation of Sandtown and some of the many activities that they have plunged into. Stuart from Annapolis is back with us. Stuart, welcome to Midday.
Hello,
Stuart. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Yeah, the thing I was going to point out, and Reverend Elder Harris alluded to it, at the time that Jim Rouse's effort came in, there were local efforts taking place in Sandtown. New Song was very successful on a small level at creating home ownership and, more importantly, creating a sense of community. The Rouse effort tended to overwhelm the local leadership. And one of the things I think people have to understand is, although the resources like money and skills might have to come from outside of Sandtown, the leadership must come from within Sandtown.
I agree.
And the goals, and I happened to work for the State Housing Finance Agency at the time the effort took place. There were goals established, but they were goals established to satisfy the banks and the financial companies. They did not necessarily connect with what the people in the community wanted. And a community is created when people come together to form that community. It can't take place from the outside.
That's right.
Stuart, I appreciate your making that point. Elder Harris was addressing that just a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Let me comment
Pastor
on Stuart. Thank you, Stuart, for your comment. Well, one of the things I want to say is that's one of the purposes, another purpose of CUTS. We've hired a publicist to make sure that message is clear, that we don't want people to come into our community and tell us what needs to be done. Clergy, churches are anchors of the community, and we need to be at the table when the decisions are being made about what to do and how to do it. And so that's one of the one of our major points, is that we need to have a voice in how things are going to be revitalized. And so we have a new partnership with Maryland Nonprofits. They've been given a grant to come in and do some things in 21217, which is Sandtown. And they've asked us to be advisors to them on where to spend the money. So that is one of the efforts that we hope to get more momentum, because Stuart's point is very poignant, that the leadership has to come from within Sandtown.
And T. Rowe Price is now bringing their support in our community, but they want it to be ran by us.
Mm-hmm.
And they are staying out of the way, just little guidance, but they want everything to be ran by us, through us.
One of the partnerships that caught my attention is with the Health Department of the City of Baltimore and the FBI, mm-hmm. in crime prevention.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell me Can you give us a short version to our listeners of what it is that clergy are involved with in trying to interrupt crime?
Well, one of the things that we're partnered with the mayor's office on a program called Operation Ceasefire. And Ceasefire is a community effort to try to get some of the most violent repeat offenders in our city to turn their lives around. So on one side of the room, you have every law enforcement agency imaginable, from the sheriff's department to the FBI to the ATF. And they kind of we bring these young men and women in, and we say, this is your dossier. This is what you're facing on the federal level if you continue to operate in the manner which you are. On the other side of the room, we have social service agencies that's willing to help them to turn over a new leaf, if you will. So we say, we're going to give you housing assistance. We're going to give you job training. We're going to give you GED, high school. We're going to help you with expungement of things on your record. We're going to help you with child support payment assistance, those kinds of things. And in the middle of those two entities stand the clergy. And we stand there and we moderate this whole thing. And then at the end of it, we break bread with them and try to convince them to change their lives. Some of these men and women who come in, they're kind of forced to come in because they're on parole or probation. But there's another population that's not on parole or probation, but we know that they're repeat violent offenders. A clergy member, a member from the mayor's office, and a police officer, we go to their house. We knock on their door and we sit down with them.
Basically, stage an intervention.
Right in their living room.
That sounds like it could be pretty explosive.
It's dangerous, but it's rewarding and it's necessary. What the other thing that Cutts is saying is that we're not waiting for the cavalry to come in and save us. We're not waiting for the cavalry to come in and rescue Sandtown, Winchester. We can do it ourselves.
We just want support.
We want support. We want resources, and we can do it. And so this is one of the things that's necessary if we're going to stem the tide of crime. We can't just sit back and say what needs to be done. We have to roll up our sleeves and do it. So, and that's why I go to these kids' houses.
Safe Street has a location in the Sandtown.
In one of our
Safe Street, which is the city's program for interrupt violence.
They're located at St. Peter Claver's. Who is a member? The pastor, Ray, Father
Ray Bomberger.
Bomberger.
He's our vice president of Cuts.
He's a vice president of Cuts. And so James Brown sung the song, "I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I get it myself." We don't want you to open up the door. We'll get it ourselves. But, you know, just fairly contribute with us all and let us manage. We know how to manage what we need in our community. And then the community can see what they always accuse us of not doing. They can see their ministers working for them, and they're saying now that I don't know what the ministers are doing in our community.
We'll talk more about
that. We're changing all of that.
We'll talk more about that after we take another quick break. That's Elder C.W. Harris here on Midday. Pastor Derek DeWitt is also with us. We're going to talk more after a short break about Clergy United for the Transformation of Sandtown Cuts. You can be part of this conversation. Send us an email at midday@wypr.org or phone us. 410-662-8780 is our phone number. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with two members of Cuts, Clergy United for the Transformation of Sandtown, Reverend Dr. Derek DeWitt, Senior Pastor of First Mount Calvary Baptist Church, and Elder C.W. Harris, Pastor of Newborn Community of Faith Church. Elder Harris is a member of Cuts and founder of Intersection of Change, formerly known as Newborn Holistic Ministries. You can join this conversation. Tell us what you think about the role of churches in your community, and what do you think the mood is and the attitude is a year after the violence that tore Baltimore apart? Join our conversation by sending an email to midday@wypr.org or phoning us at 410-662-8780. We got an email from LaShelle about Sandtown, and one of her questions is, it is understandable that the lack of jobs, income inequality, as well as poor education are the main disparities in our community. However, once all these things are in place, what then? We still have issues of gun violence and our youth running amok with no regard to life, including their own. What would you say to Elle?
Well, education is a large part of that. We have to, first, the parents have to be educated, and they have to have what we see ourselves selling. We sell hope. And so we say if we can get our community educated, amen, there's hope for them to have a better life. As it relates to the violence and the mentality of the young people, we have to do what we can, and sometimes it's one life at a time. But I think that we have some viable programs. At one of our Cuts churches, my church, for instance, we do a free summer camp every year. We have 70 children that come to the church. They stay for 6 weeks. It's free of charge. But right next to my church, I have a 9,000-square-foot warehouse called the Potter's House that's in disrepair that we're unable to use. So I'm limited to the church edifice, and I can only do 60 to 70 children. But if I had this warehouse repaired, maybe I can do 200 or 300 children. It would provide a safe haven for them, keep them off the streets. We can provide education. One of our Cuts churches have what we call a Reading Together program. We teach the children and their parents who lack reading skills. We teach them together to learn to read. So all of these things provide hope for better future, hope for better jobs. So we need help. We need resources. We can't fix all of the problems, but we can certainly put a dent in most of them.
Michael has called us from Baltimore with a comment about another program involving children. Michael, welcome to Midday.
Hi, yes. My wife and I do a garden club at Roots and Branches Charter School in Harlem Park, a few blocks from Sandtown, and it's really great to expose the children to, you know, getting their hands in the soil and watching things grow. And my wife has a lot of involvement in these various food and faith groups. And this garden has an alliance with a church, St. Vincent de Paul, mm-hmm. one of the downtown churches. So, in fact, we even have a work day this Saturday, and members of the church will come out and help. But I guess my question goes to this challenge of bringing the two Baltimores together, you know, since this Freddie Gray incident and just the disparity. And people need to come in and be involved from all parts of Baltimore and help each other. So just maybe have the panel comment more on that.
Michael, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Boundaries is working to bring the two Baltimores together. No Boundary is a group that meet at St. Peter Claver's in the Sandtown Winchester area that bring Reservoir Hill in and Upton and Sandtown and all the surrounding communities in the 21217 area. So, yes, I have a relationship with people from as far west as Walla Walla, Washington, who have supported us with hundreds of thousands of dollars to do efforts in our communities, to as close as Washington, D.C., Church of the Savior, Gordon Cosby, CCDA, Christian Community Development Association. These are people from all over that I have worked with. And it is important that divide be bridged together, and we hope faithfully that is done.
And that is one of the purposes of Cuts. Cuts wants to stand as a bridge in between what they call the two Baltimores. Me and my wife and I was just recently at Roots and Branches, an amazing educational program located right in Sandtown. But it's one of those hidden gems in our community that a lot of people don't know about. And that's what I was saying earlier. They don't have to go out of their community to get a quality education. We have some hidden gems right in the community that can do that.
Mike is calling us from East Baltimore. Mike, welcome to Midday.
Yes, hi. Thanks.
Sure.
I just went to a memorial for a friend of mine. His mom, was on drugs really heavily. He had died in jail from a heart attack. And him and his brothers, all their lives had been, dealing drugs and stuff like that. And every day that I ever talked to him, he said he finally wanted to give it up, especially after what happened to his mom. But he still says that it's hard. He had got a job, but then they run a background check on him 3 months later and fire him. So, I mean, even though we have all these different programs to help people, right, and you can get all the training and all the things that you need, but in the end, after receiving all that training, you still can't get a job. You still can't get out in the workforce and provide, which ultimately leads them back out into the streets. So I guess my question is,
yeah, Mike?
Do legislation, how can we, mm-hmm. Get rid of some laws, make new ones, do mm-hmm. basically what it is that we have to do to say, hey, after these people go, through these programs to make them better, that they will be successful for sure.
Mike, I appreciate your phoning. It seems as if Mike has led us back to where we started this conversation about participating in
voting
in the political process.
Process. Go out and vote, please.
Go out and vote. You got to vote. There's current legislation that didn't make it through the last legislative session that would solve a lot of those problems. We did get check the box off of the job applications, but that's not enough. We just need to not hold people's past against them. And one of the things, Ms. Cass, that we're finding is that some of these people, we need this automatic expungement process to be pushed through the legislature. We have to have, the current expungement policy, it requires you to pay the $30. You have to go through the court system to do it. I've taken people there personally only to find out that after we've paid the $30, they can't get an expungement because there's a loophole that says if they committed another crime while they were on parole or probation related to the first crime, they're automatically disqualified from the expungement. So there's a lot of things that we have to change in the legislature, but there are programs that our churches are running that don't care if you have a felony. Intersection of Change runs a program called Strength to Love 2. We only hire people that are coming out of incarceration. So there's some programs like that. We need to do more of it. And hopefully cuts can be a catalyst to more changes such as these.
I'm a member of Bill, and he said he's from the East Side. They have a program called Turnaround Tuesday. And he can be a part of Turnaround Tuesday where they walk you through. And even if you have difficulties later in employment, they have a connection with John Hopkins Hospital, and they can be hired through that system, and they will walk them right through, all the way through, as if they're family. And so right on the East Side, they have Turnaround Tuesday where they support people such as the young gentleman mentioned.
Mike, again, I appreciate your giving us this reality check. Thanks for calling. I don't want this hour to get away from us without asking you about access to health care in Sandtown. There was a wonderful investigation that the Kaiser Health News people did with the journalists at the University of Maryland, Merrill School of Journalism, that painted a fairly depressing picture of health care, both the statistics, which we hear about occasionally, of life expectancy less than age 70, which they compared to North Korea's life expectancy in this article. But also, they quoted, you mentioned earlier, Pastor Wilson, senior pastor of New Song Community Church, was quoted in this article saying that that healthcare providers come in with a great service, but they don't have relationships with people in the community. And Pastor Wilson said it just doesn't work.
And that's one of the main purposes of cuts, because we're saying, Ms. Cass, is that these revitalization efforts cannot work if you exclude the anchor base. Churches are the anchor base. You see churches in just about every community. So we've done some partnerships with LifeBridge, the LifeBridge Community of Faith Healthcare Network, where we've sent people to training with LifeBridge, and then members of particular faith organizations, when they go to the hospital, these trained professionals from our churches make sure that the access to healthcare and proper care is being adhered to while those faith-based partners are hospitalized. So that's just one program. I met with the president, Dr. Ross of Bond Secure. So we're looking at various efforts to make sure that people are now beginning to trust the hospitals. There's a systemic history with hospitals in our city, especially as it relates to people of color, with, you know, the stories of experiments and stuff that went on in the early days. So even on the east side, if you talk to people about Johns Hopkins, they have a fear, and they have some paradigms that need to shift. Same with Bond Secure on the west side. So what we're doing is to try to make people understand that their health is their responsibility, and we're going to fight to make sure that they have access, but they need to make sure that they see their primary care physician, and they need to make sure that they stand up for themselves when it comes to needing proper care.
We have just a couple minutes. Oh, we lost. There was someone who wanted to make the point that the Jim Rouse effort didn't fail. It just was not sustained. I don't know whether that matches your impression.
Yeah, it's a true comment.
We also got an email from a business owner who says, quite challenging, he says, one thing I've learned over the past 17 years as a small business owner in Baltimore City is that politics and churches are rife with self-serving, corrupt individuals. It's also my opinion that church leaders have helped whitewash over the corrupt and inept political leadership in Baltimore City for decades. It's very difficult to be elected to office in Baltimore City without the support of church leaders. My question is, how is Cuts different? This is from Rob in Pigtown.
Well, for one, Cuts have not endorsed any political candidate in the upcoming mayor oil race. We have simply said, laid out our agenda, what we need you to do, what we would like to see. I think wherever you go, you may find corruption. One of the things that's different from Cuts is we're not one denomination or one faith. We're multiple faiths located in our community that has the same objective, and that's revitalization of our community with the faith-based institutions as the anchor and the voice of how we do that. So that within itself, to me, Ms. Cass, would provide some checks and balances as to how we operate, because we're multi-faith.
Well, I really appreciate you both giving us some insight. I wish we had more time to talk about more of what you're involved in, and I hope you'll keep in touch with us as it unfolds. Thank you both.
And we thank you for having us, and we'll be glad to come back.
Reverend Dr. Derek DeWitt, Senior Pastor of First Mount Calvary Baptist Church, thank you.
Bless you.
And Elder C.W. Harris, Pastor of Newborn Community of Faith Church. Thanks.
Thank you.
Both members of CUTS, Clergy United for the Transformation of Sandtown. I also want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today for midday guests. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington and features signature burgers, wings, steaks, jumbo lump crab cakes. Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast on the weekends on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. And thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow. High schools in Maryland start as early as 7:17 a.m., but some people say that's too early for teens. We'll hear the pros and cons of delaying school start times. I'm Sheila Cass. Be with us for that. And if you have not voted, make plans now to get to the polls tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Midday is produced by Maureen Harvey and Andrea Appleton. The show is engineered by Luke Spicknall. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming are available at WYPR.org or on demand using the WYPR app. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.